We have been discussing Peter for the whole summer. So if you've been with us all summer, we're almost there. We got a couple more weeks of Peter. But we are currently in the middle of his letters. And I love the life of Peter, I love the story of Peter. I love the fact that, you know, he's the rock in which, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. I mean, there's a lot to Peter's life. And right now, we're in the middle of 1 Peter, and we're going to do 1 and 2 Peter all the way through the middle of August. And I just love the fact that we get wisdom from a person who had so much connection to Jesus and yet had so many flaws, but is still someone that just built this thing that we still do today. I mean, I'm curious to one of these days, maybe when I'm in heaven and having a conversation with Peter, I'm like, would you ever imagine that, you know, 2,000 plus years after all this, that your words would be spoken all across the world? And I just find that amazing. But today we're going to continue to walk through 1 Peter, and we're going to talk about living the good life and how that's so connected with doing the right thing. So I think living a good life for a lot of us can be defined almost as the American dream. I think we all have this dream, especially being Americans, to live as good as a life we possibly can, right? That's something that we just all strive to do. I mean, for some of us, living the good life is our career. The job we've wanted, the job we worked hard for, that dream job, that dream position, that salary that usually goes with that position, like that's to you, you connect that to the good life. Others, it's the stuff. Like you want that house in that neighborhood with that car or motorcycle. You really desperately want that new technology. You want to be in that community where everyone just seems to, like some people have like the Stepford dream of the white picket fence. Others have like condo and high rise in the city. For you, that's the good life. And then there's just standing, having influence in your community, having influence in the world. Maybe just having that neighborhood you've always wanted with the cul-de-sac and that everyone would just, in the middle of the summer, bring out their fire pits and have a great time. For you, that's the good life. For others, it's relationships. You want that marriage that you've always dreamt of. You want the kids who, you know, look up to you and do great things. You want to make sure that's a part of your good life. But here's what Peter says about living the good life. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says this. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. It's amazing that Peter connects the good life to doing the right thing. And I would assume that most of us in here who has the ambition of life to live as good of life as possible. I think it's safe to say, if I would do a survey, that almost every hand would go up to say, you know, would you like to live a good life? This morning, we're going to look at three things that come from this piece of scripture. And I'm going to make you a promise. Now, I don't like to make promises beginning of sermons, a little, you know, kind of church cliche thing. But I want to make you a promise. If you put into action one of these three things, or all these three things, I guarantee you one thing, that your life will be a little better. I'm not saying that the definition of the good life is going to be like opened up in the way that you would define it. But I guarantee you start to do some of these things, life will go towards the positive in some way. So let's walk through that together, okay? So the first, you know, key to living a good life is think about what you say. That is key. We forget how much we speak throughout the day. Statistics tell us that the average person speaks 25,000 words a day. Now, you may know someone who speaks more. Maybe. If you took those 25,000 words and put them into physical paper, you'd have a 50-page print. Okay? You take those 50 pages throughout a week, and you'd have a good-sized novel. Take those pages and spread it through a year. You would have 50 novels worth of words. It's a pretty good-sized library, right? That's just your spoken word. We're in the generation of text messaging and social media, of Instagram and Snapchat. And those are just as many words as you post, as you type, and as you send. And so we're in this world where communication is constantly happening. Of our lives are spoken. That's it. We just speak for 20% of our lives. Think about that. I mean, I eat for the other 20, and then the other stuff is just whatever's here. But listen to what Peter says. 1 Peter 3:10. Whoever would love life and see good days, so whoever wants to live the good life, must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. Most human conflict begins with speech. Wars are started over words. Marriages are destroyed over the things that shouldn't have been said. Neighborhoods crumble from the gossip. What we say, what we post, what we text, what we share can cause all kinds of problems in marriages and relationships, among friends, among coworkers and communities, and yes, even within the church. Look at what's happened over the past year and a half on social media. Everyone seems to have a strong opinion, and no one can speak with love. We have to be mindful of what we say. You want to start living the good life? Be careful what comes out of your mouth. Be careful what comes out of your fingertips. Here, Proverbs 18 says this. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I mean, your words have power. Your words can change things. Your words can destroy things. Keeping our tongues from doing evil, keeping our tongues from speaking lies, that is so important. You know, as a kid, I'm not sure if this was just me, it feels like it wasn't, but like my grandma would always tell me as a little kid, hey, you know, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say it at all, right? That's what she would say. And as a kid, I'm like, okay, grandma, be nice to people, yada, yada, yada. But there's some truth to it. For some of us, we have to stop speaking. For some of us, a little silence goes a long way. For some of us, not posting that tirade on social media is a blessing. For some of us, typing out the text message and not pressing send will save you heartache. What if we started changing what we're saying from here, though, that raw anger emotion, and start looking for the ways to encourage people with our words? What would this world look like? What would this church look like? What would the community look like? What would your family look like? You know, it's the easy default mechanism to be critical and angry when you hear something that might spark emotion. We all have it in us. But as followers of Jesus, we are to be against the grain. For as followers of Jesus, we are supposed to do the opposite of the world. And doing the opposite of the world is instead of being angry all the time and throwing our anger to everyone we possibly see and taking people who want to know Jesus and see what the Christians do and then turn them off to that faith, we start encouraging people. You want the good life. Start by being careful in what you say, what you type, what you post. Sometimes silence is good. And what's best is encouragement. That's the first key to living the good life. The second key to living the good life, think about what you do. Going back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, whoever would love life and see good days, whoever would want that good life, must turn from evil and do good. Calvin Coolidge, who was a great American, once said, and I think he may have even had this verse in mind, "Little progress can be made by merely attempting to repress what is evil. Our great hope lies in developing what is good." Our actions are huge, especially if you're a follower of Jesus. What you say and what you do has an impact bigger than you can possibly imagine. It can have an eternal impact on someone's life. And what happens to a lot of Christians is they kind of look at their actions into two categories, the don't category and the do category. And the don't category is important. You know, you don't want to gossip. You don't want to, you know, be quick to anger or jealousy. You don't want to have selfish ambition. You don't want to have lust or greed. Those are the spiritual growth edges that we all take some time with and we try to grow from and stay, you know, I mean, that it's hard as humans. Sometimes because we all mess up. And we're not going to be perfect in these realms, but we try to strive as close as we can to Jesus when it comes to these things. And then there's the other kinds of don'ts. The don'ts that some followers of Jesus get really obsessed with. Like, I don't do that thing. I don't hang out in that kind of world. I don't watch those shows. I don't listen to that kind of music. And my children would never wear that kind of those kind of clothes that I know of. We're kind of obsessed with the don'ts. As followers of Jesus, you know, when we become obsessed with the don'ts in life, one, we stop being fun to hang around. And trust me, I like to be fun to hang around with. I'm a goofball. But if we're all about the things we don't do, we're not going to ever attract anyone to our faith. It also does this thing, and it's 9 times out of 10, not even on purpose. We place ourselves in position of authority and, you know, almost like snobbery. Yes, I don't do that. I would never wear that. Could never go on that website. And instead of like just keeping that between you and Jesus, we kind of share it a little more than we should, and all of a sudden the people are like, "Oh, okay, you're special." Instead of realizing we're all sinners saved by grace, being all about the don'ts will turn people off from our faith. The point is that our actions are so important. How we go about those actions are just as important. At the end of the day, our life, you know, needs to be less about the things that we don't do. Our life needs to be less about the things that we won't be a part of and more about the good things that we're trying to accomplish. The actions that will lead to greatness. The actions that lead others to Jesus. The actions that will mimic who Jesus is and what he is about. What if your day ends like this? You know, I had a good day. You know why I had a good day? Because I started my morning actually having time with God. I had a great day. You know why I had a good day? Because I actually sat around my dinner table with my children, and I didn't have any technology, and we just sat and talked about each other's lives. I had a great day. You know why I had a good day? Because I got to sit down and share my faith with a coworker who is desperately in need of and searching for some kind of hope in their life, and every time they've turned to everything else, it has been a disaster. I had a good day. I got to serve the church. I got to serve in a ministry. I got to serve the community. I had a good day. I was a little nicer to the guy in front of me in Starbucks and then had to flick him in his ear. I had a good day. Isaiah says this, Isaiah 1:16. "Wash and make yourself clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight and stop from doing wrong." And Isaiah sits there and says, listen, as a believer in God, these are important things. Absolutely. Strive for not doing the wrong thing. Do the right thing. But he continues. And I think this is so important for us this morning. Isaiah 1:17. "Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take the cause of the fatherless, the orphan. Plead the case of the widow." You want to experience the good life? Make it your daily purpose to find opportunity to do good. You want to live the good life? Don't be about the do's and the don'ts. Be about making a positive impact on someone in your world. Maybe it's here at church and in a ministry, or maybe it's in your neighborhood. Maybe it's on your social media accounts. Whatever it may be, those actions will lead to a better life. Our last key to living that good life, think about your attitude towards others. Once again, we get to 1 Peter 3. Whoever will love life and see good days, whoever wants the good life, must seek peace and pursue it. I think this is a very difficult thing at times for where we are right now. It's much easier to not seek peace. It's much less, self-gratifying to not seek peace and get your point across. It's much less better for your own personal, mind if you were right and told everyone that you're right about whatever subject that is, instead of seeking peace in all areas. And we are in desperate need of that in this world. We're in desperate need of men and women and teenagers and children that makes a sole purpose in their life to make sure peace is the key. Romans chapter 14, Paul says this: anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace. And sometimes that means setting ourselves aside. Sometimes that means setting what we think is right aside. I'm not saying that you have to be a doormat. I'm not saying that you have to let people walk all over you. But I am saying the things that you do, the things that you focus on, the things that you pursue a heart of peace. Pursue the right attitude when it comes to things. What would your family and your job and your life look like if that was your goal? What would your world be like if peace was the heart of what you're seeking? Living a good life means seeking peace, having the right attitude towards things. I'm gonna call myself out on this because this might just be for me this morning. I struggle with the name change of my baseball team. Okay, just letting you know that. I, as a young man who this is my world. I grew up in Cleveland. Brunswick's my hometown. Knowing how much I love the Cleveland Indians and the memories they've sent me over the past 40 years, I love it. The name's changed now. The Guardians, go Guardians. How you doing? All jokes aside, man, there's been so much anger and hate over a name of a baseball team this week. And it breaks my heart. I get it. It's history, and it's our history, and the things that we love about it. And if you ask my wife, I'm Chief Wahoo through and through. But man, what if we approach this differently? What if we just approach it with peace? And to me, that's so important. We have a world that's desperately seeking guidance towards Christ, even if they don't know that's what they're desperately seeking. If they're desperately seeking guidance towards Jesus, and all they see is hate and anger, they're going to keep on looking. But what if we stand for that peace that transcends all understanding? And we bring people to the cross in ways that they've never expected. What if? Peter wraps up this little section. 1 Peter chapter 13, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. Man, God is watching. And he is rooting us on. To have this good life. He wants us to accomplish this goal so much. He is with us, and he wants us to do these things so that we may have the good life, but then we can bring others into that good life. Because Christianity, faith, is not just about you. It's about everyone else around you. Our job isn't just to make sure that we're okay. Our real job is to make sure that every tongue, tribe, and nation knows the name of Jesus Christ. And it's up to you. See, something I've come to really understand over my lifetime, that I have control on one person, me. I cannot control what others do. I cannot control what others say and think. I have zero control on what their political view, who they root for. I have no control over anyone else except me, myself, and my actions. If I want to live the good life, I want to bring others people into it, I have to understand that I can only control me. But when I control these things, when I start to point my heart toward these things, it can change people's lives. And it starts and ends with you. It starts and ends with me. It starts and ends with what I'm saying and being mindful what I'm texting and writing and posting and making sure it builds people up and not tears them down. It starts and ends with me. Doing the right things, even when it's hard, even when it isn't popular, even when it's frustrating to do that right thing. It starts and ends with me having the right attitude when it comes to the people, even the people I'm not fans of, finding peace in all things. It comes down to us. You can't control your neighbor. You can't control the person that you're angry with. You can't control your spouse. You can't control your kids, and you sure can't control the country. But you can control you. You want the good life. It starts and ends with you. The band's going to come up. We're going to do one last song this morning. Our actions truly tell the world who we are. And when we start to do these things, we start to put this stuff into action. We think about what we say. We follow the example of Jesus. Maybe we speak less. Or speak up when necessary, it changes the world. We live a good life. When we think about what we do and everything, we have a chance to do something for someone every single day and we do it, we have the chance to live the good life. When we think about the attitudes and seeking peace towards other things, even the people who offend you the most, you seek peace with them, that's how you live the good life. Apply these standards to your life. I guarantee you one thing, it will start to grow towards the positive. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your son. God, forgive me for the times where I have spoken something I shouldn't have, the times I put myself in front of others, the times I didn't seek peace. God, we want to live that life that is impactful to others and that life that's impactful for your kingdom. God, let us set ourselves aside and allow you to be the thing that we direct everything through. We pray this in your name. Amen.